Hello.
Okay, let me begin by thanking the organizers for this very nice conference and for inviting me to speak here. So I want to tell you about some recent work on exact and asymptotic degeneracies of small black holes and how one can go beyond Bekenstein and Hawking in this context. This is based on some these papers, and my collaborators are Kailash, Maloney, Dennis, Moore, and Piolin. So one of the important successes of string theory has been that to address this question that every quantum theory of gravity must address is that what is the microscopic counting corresponding to the thermodynamic entropy? And for some supersymmetric black holes, we know that area over 4 is explained very nicely by Swaminder, for example, in the example of Swaminder and Wafa, by the microscopic counting. So since string theory is a complete quantum theory of gravity, one would like to ask, can we compute corrections? So from the macroscopic side, that is from the effective action, one would like to compute all these coefficients. And from the microscopic side, by some counting of some brain configurations, one would like to compute all these coefficients. And the question is, first of all, can we compute them? And then can we show them to be equal? And I will show you that in some class of black holes, one can actually do both, and they agree exactly to all of this. Now, this looks like a very almost impossible task to actually calculate, to execute, because on the microscopic side, first of all, one should be able to count the states exactly. But moreover, on the microscopic side, one must take into account higher derivative corrections to Einstein-Hilbert action, then solve the equations, compute the correction to the entropy, and then carry out this comparison. Furthermore, since we are trying to compute finite volume corrections, we have to choose what statistical ensemble we are going to use. Because, for example, microcanonical and canonical agrees with each other only thermodynamically. But if you want to go beyond finite, want to compute these effects beyond the infinite volume limit, then one has to choose the ensemble. Unfortunately, a number of independent developments over the last few years have made this possible. So first of all, the counting, I will do it for heterotic perturbative BPS states. And on the macroscopic side, there are a number of things. We need the action, we need the formula for the entropy, we need the solution, and we need the ensemble. And all these things, ingredients, have been provided by different people who are looking at it from different motivations. So let me first explain by what I mean by small black holes. Small black holes are the ones which have classical area zero, and therefore, the macroscopics is quite difficult. You need to include the quantum corrections, and they're essential for addressing this problem. But the payoff is that the microscopics is very easy, and the counting can be done exactly because it's not a complicated D-brain configuration, but just a simple perturbative state. So let me just state the results, because the session, the chair is sitting here threateningly, so if I... So let me just summarize the results. So we'll be talking about heterotic strings on some M5 cross S1, and the states that we'll be looking at are strings wrapping on this big circle W times, carrying some momentum N along this circle. As we know, since heterotic string carries supersymmetries on the right movers, if it is in the ground state, then it's BPS in space-time, but it can have arbitrary left-moving oscillations. So we'll consider it in some large class of orbifolds of heterotic, of this generic type. And these states were, of course, some of the simplest ones. And this idea of elementary strings as black holes goes back even to pre-B-brain era to these people. And Fenn, in particular, gave a nice scaling argument which made it plausible that such a thing will happen, that after including corrections, one might be able to reproduce the entropy. Now, from the macroscopic side, as I said, the classical spacetime is singular, and it looks like this. Whereas, once we include quantum corrections, the singularity is cloaked, and we get a spacetime with a regular horizon, and the quantum corrected entropy, using the Bekenstein-Hawking-Wald formula, we get this answer. The Q square upon 2 is just NW of the previous slide, but I will consider more generic charge vectors, so let me write the formula in this way. So we'll find that in the corrected geometry, the entropy is finite. The counting is governed by a number of abelian vector multiplets in the low energy n is equal to supergravity, and is governed by a hyperbolic Bessel function, the asymptotics. So you not only do you get this exponential growth, but we'll get all the corrections, and it is given by this particular hyperbolic Bessel function. On the microscopic side, the partition function that counts these states for a given charge vector Q in the Narayan lattice, for example, is governed also by a hyperbolic Bessel function for completely different reasons, and the same hyperbolic functions if this index would agree. And we will show that in number of examples that index will agree. And it, of course, has this leading behavior, but what we are trying to do is that use this asymptotics of the hyperbolic Bessel function. So nu is, if the nu is the index of the Bessel function, then nu is equal to 4 nu squared, then there is this nice formula, and where z is equal to 4 pi q squared. So one would like to actually compute all these terms and show that they are equal on both sides. So let me start with now the framework. What are the different ingredients that we need? We need the action. So we have a charge state that couples to gravity, Abelian vector multiplets, and moduli. When n is equal to 2 supergravity, this is summarized. If you look at only a certain class of F-type terms, higher derivative terms, then it is summarized entirely by a single holomorphic function of this type with an infinite sum, and FH are computed by the topological string amplitudes. W square is gravity photon field strength, and XI are the vector multiplet moduli. Now, given this action, we of course have to find generically, when you add higher derivative terms, then these corrections will not only change the black hole solution, but in fact the Bekenstein-Hawking area formula itself will get changed. And this problem was addressed by Walt for, purely from the point of view of a general relativist, that what is the expression for the Bekenstein-Hawking, what is the generalization of the Bekenstein-Hawking formula, and he gave a very elegant formal expression. Here, you regard the action to depend on the Riemann tensor and the metric, regarding the Riemann tensor as an independent variable formally. Just vary this, calculate this quantity, and then contract it with epsilon AB, epsilon CD, and integrate over the horizon. So if the horizon, for example, for a Schwarzschild black hole is in the theta phi coordinate, then epsilon AB are the antisymmetric tensors in the RT plane. So you evaluate this, and this satisfies the first law of thermodynamics. So this is a very nice thing, but of course, it's a formal expression, so we first need to solve the equations and find the solution, and that is done for you by the attractor geometry. So using the supersymmetry and we can show that the geometry is determined simply by solving algebraic equations. So it's an enormous simplification. Instead of solving a nonlinear complicated differential equation with many, many derivatives, we just have to solve these algebraic equations. And the attractor metric near the horizon is determined by the central charge of the supersymmetry algebra. And then the world entropy can be computed. And this computation is actually quite a tour de force. It's easier said than done. And these authors actually, in a very nice series of papers, did this, following generalizing the attractor mechanism of these authors. Now, after having done this, we first still need to choose the ensemble. So, Uguri, Swaminathan, and Vaswa recently made this nice observation that the world entropy thus computed can be viewed as a Legendre transform of this free energy function. So this defines the free energy in a mixed ensemble because it depends on phi and p, so in which magnetic charges p and electric potentials phi conjugate to q are held fixed. And this free energy is basically related to this holomorphic free potential by the simple definition, imaginary parts evaluated on some values, and q is just, these are the attractor equations in this way of writing things. So these authors then recognize that, well, if you have a free energy, you have a partition function, and then that suggests for a given f, one can define black hole degeneracies in this way by this inverse Laplace transform, such that their leading behavior will of course agree with the Wald entropy. So this is the algorithm. What we have to do is that specify for me a Calabi-Yau manifold on which you are compactifying the type 2 theory, then plug it into this black box of topological string and so on, and it will give you this p-potential. Given the p-potential, then you specify the state, and putting these two things together, compute this free energy, then compute the inverse Laplace transforms, and that gives you the macroscopic entropy. And then you can compare that with the macroscopic counting. Of course, actually executing each one of these arrows is generically not possible. For example, even though the topological string gives you this in some formal expression, you would actually want, if you want to get numbers out, you want to be able to actually evaluate that function, and generically it is not possible. Also, doing this inverse Laplace transform, these are multi-dimensional integrals, or also the solving attractive equations is a multi-dimensional problem, and you cannot always find a solution very easily. So, to get numbers out, we need to make a clever choice of the Calabi-Yau manifold and the black hole charges, such that all these ingredients are under computational control. So that is the trick, and one can do it for a large number of examples, but I will illustrate this by two very simple examples. One is the K3 cross T2 type 2A that we love and we know this very well, and another one is a slightly more complicated orbifold. And the main difference between these two is that the number of vector multiplets, number of vector fields in four dimensions counted in the n is equal to 2 language are different. So in this case it is 24, and in the other case it is 16. And as I described to you, the index of the Bessel function depends crucially on the number of vector multiplets. So these will be two situations where we'll get different answers from the macroscopic side, and one would like to reproduce it from the microscopic side. So let me start with type 2A on K3 cross T2, which is dual to heterotic on T4 cross S1 cross S1. And this state, this is of course the state that we're looking at. In the type 2 description, this just becomes WD4 brains, with N D0 brains sprinkled on top of it, and the D4 brain is wrapping the K3. So the counting, of course, we can do on the heterotic side, and I will describe it in a moment. So we can excite 24 left-moving oscillators subject to this zero-zero constraint, and this is a very simple counting problem. The partition function is just, since we have 24 left-moving bosons, we get this well-known eta to the 24, 1 minus Qn to the 24, one of each of them coming from the bosons. Qn is this energy. So the two things that I will require from this partition function are its modular property and the asymptotic behavior. So this is the modular form of weight 12 or minus 12. So therefore, z of beta goes as beta to the 12, z of minus 1 upon beta. And then using this asymptotics of eta function for small q, okay, this should be ground state energy. So this coefficient q raised to the power 1 corresponds to the fact that the ground state energy in the untwisted state is minus 1. That will be important for us later. But basically, using this formula, now we can immediately evaluate the macroscopic degeneracy by the inverse Laplace transform. So you just approximate this function by the asymptotic thing that I showed on the previous transparency. And we immediately recognize that this is an integral of Bessel type. Well, immediately meaning if you... Okay. If you remember your undergraduate mathematics. And it is, the index is basically determined by this 12. So we get I13. And the coefficient, the argument is determined by the fact that there is a 2 pi here. So because of that, we get I13 4 pi square root of Mw. And therefore, the Boltzmann entropy is given by this nice expression using the asymptotic expression that I have given you before. And we would like to reproduce this from the macroscopic side. So now, the nice thing about this K3 cross T2 is that explicitly write them down. And in fact, all of them vanish for h greater than 1. H0, because it's a K3 manifold with n equal to 4 supersymmetries, actually the classical answer is exact. And F1 can be evaluated immediately, you know, with some, this is one of the well-known computations in topological string literature. And it gives you also log eta to the 24. And all that will require is this asymptotic as x1 upon x0 becomes large. So basically, we have a state which has two charges, N and W, which in this type 2 polarization become Q0 and P1, because it's a D0 brain and a D4 brain. So therefore, we'll single out these two vector multiplet moduli, because two vectors are getting excited. So these, we'll single them out, and the rest of them we'll denote by AB. They come from the K3 cohomology. And now we have to compute the free energy F, compute the inverse Laplace transform. And now, because of the fact that out of these 24 electric potentials, only two charges are excited, it turns out that if you just look at it, these guys are Gaussian, basically. These are just quadratic. So therefore, 22 integrals are Gaussian. One integral is over a constant. And one integral, then, the remaining integral turns out to be also of a Bessel type. For, again, of no obvious connection with what we were doing there. And the index of the Bessel function in this case is nv plus 2 upon 2, which is also 13. And the coefficient is 4 pi. The overall normalization at this stage cannot be fixed, and we were not able to fix it, and naively has a W square factor in front. So there is some issue about how to precisely define the measure, which still needs to be understood better. But it's already quite remarkable that we get this entire function right on both sides, in agreement exactly with the microscopic counting. So now let me describe to you a slightly more complicated example, and things work. So just to convince you that this is not an accident or something very special to this particular example, there is a large class of similar examples which have n is equal to 4 supersymmetry but reduced rank. So what we want to do is that we want to construct an example which has reduced rank. So take a type 2 string on a K3 cross T2 orbifold, which is dual to the so-called CHL compactification. So the orbifold is a Z2 orbifold, and you start with the heterotic string with two E8 factors, and the Z2 action just flips the two E8s and simultaneously carries out a half shift along the circle. Because it flips the two E8s, it identifies them under the orbifold action, and because of the half shift, the twisted sector states are massive. So basically this reduces the rank by 8, because instead of two E8s, we have a single E8 at the end of the day. And we get nv is equal to 16 instead of 24. So if we repeat the analysis from the macroscopic side, we expect that we will get i9 now, nv plus 2 upon 2, which is 18 divided by 2 is 9. So we'll get omega q square is equal to i9. So that is the answer that we expect. So how do we compute the partition function? Let's just compute the partition function in the untwisted sector. You just introduce 1 plus alpha upon 2, the projection operator, and do this. And the first term is going to be eta to the 24 as before, and the second term is going to be eta to the power 8, because the light cone 8 coordinates are not touched by this orbifold action, so you get eta to the 8. And the remaining two E8 factors, their oscillators are identified, and because their oscillators are identified, the energy gets doubled, but you just have 8 of them, so you get eta to, you get this combination. And if you look at the asymptotics, this has wrong index, you get I13, and this has wrong argument. So it doesn't seem to agree with the macroscopic counting. However, we have made a mistake here, and the mistake is the following. So this, we were stuck on this for a little while, but the mistake is that the physical charge operator invariant under orbifold projection is Q1 plus Q2. And some states that are charged under the E8 in the original theory are actually neutral in the orbifold. And this partition function only computes the states that were neutral in the original theory. But we are really interested in the states that are neutral in the orbifold theory. So we have to include states of this kind as well in your counting, on which the physical charge operator is zero. For example, this state has some charge P and some charge minus P with respect to the other E8. And so we should sum over these additional states. And in fact, when you do that sum, you get an additional theta function, E8 theta function, at level 2. And one simple way to understand this geometrically is the following, that you have one E8 this way, another E8 that way, and this is really your physical charge operator. So you have to basically project down all these states onto this point. We have, if you just include this, take this point, then you'll get the wrong answer. But if you project all these states onto this point, then you'll get the right answer. And moreover, this length squared is twice as large, so you'll get a theta function. Otherwise, this is just a theta function of E8. And note that you have also to take into account these shifted points. So there is some little bit of cute group theory that you need to do and figure out how to write the product of two E8 lattices in terms of sums of products. And I won't go into the detail. But at the end of the day, this is the correct partition function for looking at this physical state. And now, in fact, the index and the argument both work out exactly in agreement with the macroscopic counting. And moreover, similarly, we can also ask if the charge belongs to untwisted or the shifted lattice. And in all these cases, you know, uniformly, we obtain this I9 4 pi square root of Q square upon 2 in nice agreement with the macroscopic counting. So let me now come to the conclusion. We have seen that one can do a precise counting of macroscopic entropy in terms of microstate counting, precise accounting of microscopic counting to all orders in an asymptotic expansion. It is actually remarkable how several independent formalisms, such as the wall formula, attractive geometry, and topological string, are incorporated in a coherent structure in string theory, and moreover is in precise agreement with the quantum spectrum. So this is something that, of course, in string theory we take for granted, but I think it's a nice confirmation of the consistency of the whole framework. And we are also seen that we have a situation where a null singularity gets cloaked. And again, in string theory, we are used to this notion of quantum geometry, where Euclidean signatures, such as orbifolds and conifolds, where the quantum stringy geometry can be non-singular, even when the Riemannian geometry is singular. Here we have an example with Lorentzian signature. Of course, the stringy corrections don't completely cure the singularity, but they at least clothe its nakedness and turn it into a regular event horizon. So we see that there is all these a priori, there are many actually moving parts to this computation, and all of them are quite independent of each other, the Walsh formalism, topological string. And for this whole thing to work in a nice way, it could have happened that, you know, we got some factors of 2 or factors of 4 wrong, but it is satisfying that everything works in a very consistent way. And let me now, how much time do I have? Okay. So let me end with a few comments. In all these examples where things work nicely, one can show that the absolute number of states is actually equal to an index. So that we are used to this notion that DPS states are stable under renormalization, but that's not quite true, because many DPS short multiplets can combine into a long multiplet and then get renormalized and leave the spectrum. So when you are continuing from weak coupling to strong coupling, it is not always the case that just because things are BPS, even if you don't have curves of marginal instability, it can happen that, or at least a priori you are not guaranteed that the counting with weak coupling will agree with the macroscopic counting in this non-perturbative region where the black hole is formed. But in these examples, the index actually equals an absolute number, not just the asymptotically, but exactly, up to a overall normalization. So that rationalizes why this agreement works. Moreover, another question that people often ask is if walled entropy is field redefinition independent. So it is, even though the area of the horizon is not, there are modulo some subtleties, but this is most easily seen in using Ashok Sen's recent formulation of the walled entropy, where the entropy is the value of some function at its extremum. So if you change the parameters, the value of a function of at the extremum doesn't change. So that tells you that this is a physical quantity which should be independent of field definitions. So let me now end with some open problems. One would like to understand, we have gotten this agreement keeping only the F-type terms, and one would like to understand why it is okay to drop the D-type terms. And there is some nice work recently by Krauss and Larson which goes some way in explaining that. So it is possible that these do not renormalize the entropy further, but I think it would be nice to show that. Or if there is a CFT corresponding to these black holes, then there are various generalizations, dions in higher dimensions, spin and rings. Those would be nice to figure out. I guess next two speakers will probably talk about these two things. And then resolve some of the puzzles for the perturbative Einstein string of type 2, which I won't have time to explain here, but there are a few puzzles that are not completely understood here. And can we go beyond asymptotic expansion, as was the original idea of Uguris, Ramanujan, and Wafa? And there are a number of important technical difficulties in, you know, what is the choice of the contour and so on, that need to be sorted out before one can actually do that. And also the issues about the measure. So I think there are a few things that that are worth exploring further, and hopefully the answers will come. Will have the answers maybe in the next year or so.